Good morning. Welcome today. I'm living my fantasy here, getting to wear jeans on a Sunday morning. But that's because we have a little church cleanup right after worship today. Everyone pitches in, you're not forced to. If you wore jeans and came ready with work gloves on that, we're gonna spruce things up a little bit around the church inside and out, and then we're gonna have a potluck. It's not mandatory, but it's kind of fun to do it once a year, and I get to wear jeans. So, anyway, welcome to Grace Lutheran on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday in May. So good to be. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary here, if you're in the parking lot listening on the radio, or if you're at home taking this in online, welcome. Just a reminder, we'll remain at 10 o'clock for our worship service all through the summer, so we're just going to keep things the same. A quick look at the bulletin. First of all, you have a bulletin insert, and this is about a church directory. So we're ready to move ahead with our new church directory. There's some sign-up pages in the fellowship hall there. We're working with Ann Cooper from the Dakota Gallery out of South Dakota. The company has sent a portrait schedule for taking pictures on Thursday, May 26th and Friday, May 27th. So this is happening. There will be one more scheduled photo shoot week the beginning of August. The May portrait schedule has been printed and is on the table in the fellowship hall for those who would like to sign up now and have their summer free. The whole idea of this is as we grow, and we've grown more, we've done two directories during my time here, and it's just essential for us to get to know each other as we grow and we get new people. It's pretty handy to look into the directory and say, oh, that's their name. Okay, and it's just good to update it. So we've been asked also to host a Red Cross blood drive this coming October, and the council was all in on this. It's a great thing to do for our community. They're asking for volunteers to assist on the day of the drive. Anyone interested, please contact Kirk Cardwell. And we're also looking for a coordinator for this. So if you have a background or are familiar with this, there's a coordinator's guide here. So contact myself or Dwayne Hybe or Kurt if you're interested in maybe being a coordinator for this. So we want to do this for our community, the Red Cross Blood Drive. All right, a quick look at the bulletin for this week at Grace. We have Women's Bible Study at Rachel Runovic's tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. Rachel, maybe put your hand up if you're interested. She'll give you directions. Not hard to find. Tuesday morning, I'll be out of the office for a medical appointment. I'll be back in the afternoon, so I'll be up in Fargo and then back. Nothing critical, routine. So Wednesday, 8 a.m., we're going to continue with our Bible study, Gospel of John, and then we take a 15-minute break. 9:15, the prayer group meets. So if you see a card in the pew and you have a prayer request, put it in the collection plate and you'll be prayed for. All right, so also Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, Grace Youth meet for a meal, devotions, and games. Wednesday, 7 p.m., Grace Choir meets in the chapel for practice. And then Thursday, 9 a.m., Grace Lutheran Women meet for brunch, Bible study, and a little business. Birthdays this week, happy birthday. We'll pray for you by name at the end of the service. Next Sunday, 10 a.m., morning worship. And then 2 to 4 p.m., there's an open house bridal shower for Ashley Hybe in the fellowship hall. Service opportunities, we've mentioned a couple already, Sunday morning greeters, church directory, and then the Red Cross blood drive, especially if you're interested in being a coordinator for that. Our May mission of the month is Everly Martinson. She's a two-year-old from Fergus Falls who has stage 4 bone, liver, and blood cancer. So we want to, as we go through the line during potluck today, there should be an offering basket out there. If you feel led to give to that, that's the time. And then some thank yous. Thanks to everyone who prepared and served our fellowship time last Sunday. Thanks to Group 2 of the Grace Lutheran Women for serving the Steve Anderson Memorial on Tuesday. And then thanks to all those who served at our concert on Wednesday night. So those are the announcements. Anything else? Yes. Cheryl, is Cheryl here? There might have been, so Thursday, May 26th, that might, so it's a Thursday and Friday, so whatever those dates are.
that those dates are wrong?
I'm not sure. Okay, I didn't do the sheets.
Thursday
I didn't do
May
this.
26.
Okay, Thursday is May 26th. So the sheets are wrong.
Okay.
The announcement, the bulletin insert is right. Okay? We'll just correct that. Maybe somebody can jot that down. I'm sure that whoever did the sign-up sheets didn't do this. So, all right, we got that cleared up. Let's turn our corner into our worship service proper. And we open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
In our opening song, a Blessed Assurance, as seen up on the screen.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
This morning is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm 148, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him, all his angels.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him,
you highest heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow him as our Savior and Lord. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers to join me as we turn to the hymn titled Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's hymn number 543 in the green hymnal or as seen on the screens.
Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with his love he befriend thee. And our good news today and every day is that he has befriended us with his love in his Son, Jesus Christ. He has granted us the forgiveness of all of our sins. And we gather around that fundamental truth each Sunday when we do what we're going to do now. We stand before God openly and honestly and confess that we need to be befriended by his love. Even though we're not very lovable, we're sinners, he has befriended us and loved us. So let's connect with that great truth right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's promise from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith. That confession, that ancient summary of what the Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
First reading this Sunday morning comes from Acts chapter 11, the first 18 verses. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as He had come upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God. The second reading, go to Revelation 21, the first six verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Please pray. God of peace, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy. O faithful God, giver and sustainer of life, we thank you for the rains received and ask for favorable weather to plant our crops, that we may receive the fruits of the earth for our benefit and for your praise. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.
Thank you, Hans. Beautiful scriptures in our lectionary for this fifth Sunday of Easter, where we see the wideness, the scope of God's salvation. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, it's just those who are thirsty, come and drink. What a beautiful God we serve. What an open God we serve. He has sent his Son for everyone. Well, it's that time in our service where I'm going to encourage you to maybe stand up, stretch your legs, and in a way that seems appropriate to you, greet your neighbor.
The song I'd like to share this morning is called Knees to the Earth.
wonderful Savior. My heart belongs to Thee. I will remember always the blood You shed for me. Wonderful Savior, my heart will know Your worth, and I will embrace You always as I walk this earth. Be blessed, be loved, be lifted high, be treasured here, be glorified. I owe my life to You, my Lord. Here I am. Beautiful Jesus, how may I bless Your heart? Knees to the earth, I bow down to everything You are. And beautiful Jesus, You are my only worth. So let me embrace You always as I walk this earth. Be blessed, be loved, be lifted high, be treasured here, be glorified. I owe my life to You, my Lord. Here I am, here I am. Be blessed, be loved, be lifted high, be treasured here, be glorified. I owe my life to You, my Lord. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Knees to the earth. Here I am.
Thank you, Amy. Well, it's that time. If there's any kids out there, be willing to meet me over at the table in the chair. Got a message just for you, and I see Daisha's up there with the fruit snacks too, so. All right, good to see you guys. Okay. A little math this morning. How many things do I have here?
Two.
Okay. Well, how many things do I have now?
Two.
Well, just actually one. They're kind of together now. And that's the point here. Jesus talks about that He and the Father are one. Now, we know we have God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, but Jesus today is going to talk about He and His Father being one. So, in a sense now, it's one container, isn't it? But Jesus' prayer is that we would be one as He and the Father are one. So let's take these cookies, and these will represent us, okay? And we'll put them in the container now, three cookies, and then we'll put the lid on. And now we can see that it's kind of all one, isn't it? So God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and because our sins are taken away, now we can be one with the Father and one with Jesus and one with the Holy Spirit. So, and then the Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe this. So that's our good news. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that as you and the Father are one in purpose, you have made us one with you by removing our sins from us and bringing us into fellowship with the Godhead, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're all one in you, and we praise and thank you that not only are we one with you, but we're one with one another. There's no barriers between us. And we praise and thank you, Jesus, for the unity that we have with you. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. And I think Dacia's got some fruit snacks for you, and let's give them a hand for coming up here. Well, as we come before God's Word this morning, let's just pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. Your Word is truth. Your Word is Spirit. Speak to us now. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Amen. It may be hard for us to imagine in this day of cell phones and wireless communication that at one time all telephone lines were literal lines of wire that connected all phones together. Prior to World War II in the United States, many residential telephone subscribers were connected to their phone network by what was known as a party line. And I think if you lived out in the country, this extended well beyond World War II, didn't it? How many of you remember being on a party line? Oh, yeah. Okay. So this meant, of course, that two or more customers were connected directly to the same local phone service loop. In order to distinguish one party on the phone loop from another, operators developed different ringing cadences for each subscriber. So when the phone rang in everyone's house, the person actually getting the call could know when to pick it up, okay? Imagine that, getting everybody's ring. But this also meant that while one person was talking on the phone, another party in that same local loop could pick up the phone and find themselves in the middle of someone else's conversation. Now, sometimes this eavesdropping was accidental, but at other times it was not so accidental, and it seemed like everyone in the loop knew who the nosy neighbor was, right? Anybody of you remember a nosy neighbor? Yes, yes. Well, I do hope that during the fellowship hour when we have our potluck that there might be some mischievous party line stories that you recall. But anyway, we need to hear this because this is going to connect us now to the text for today. You see, on the night before his cross, Jesus prayed to his Father and, in a sense, included us in the party line between he and God. Today in our gospel text, we find ourselves on a party line and listening in on a conversation between our Savior Jesus and his Heavenly Father. First of all, we need to take note that our listening in this instance is guilt-free. We're not eavesdropping on our Savior. He wanted us to hear this conversation. He prayed aloud in front of his disciples, and then it was recorded in Scripture for us to read. It was his intention to put us in the loop, you might say, of communication. And he even saw to it that John wrote it in his gospel. And this is a good thing. This conversation is of utmost importance because in it we hear glimpses of the heart of Jesus. We see glimpses of the heart of God. The setting, as I mentioned, the night before he went to the cross, Jesus allowed us to listen in. We get a glimpse of his heart, the Father's heart, and we are privileged to listen in on this Godhead. We will hear God the Son speaking to God the Father about something called glory. Now, usually when we hear this word, we think of fame or the praise that might come for someone's great accomplishment. Images of the Super Bowl, the World Series, or Olympic gold medals flash before our that word glory. But the conversation about glory that we'll hear today is far from what we might think about. Coming from a stadium with thousands of cheering fans chanting MVP, MVP, in recognition of a particular athlete, or we're number one, the crowd chanting because their team won. Today, as we listen in on this conversation between the Son of God and His Heavenly Father, we will see that their road to glory led to Christ's mission of suffering and shame upon the cross. And we will see that our glory comes from that cross, for it is God's deepest revelation of Himself to us. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began. I have revealed You to those whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours, You gave them to Me, and they have obeyed Your word. Now they know that everything You have given Me comes from You, for I gave them the words You gave Me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from You, and they believe that You sent Me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, for they are Yours. All I have is Yours, and all You have is Mine. And glory has come to Me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, protect me by the power of Your name, the name You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one." The word of the Lord. First of all, we need to take a look at this word glory. Definition, specifically God's glory. So glory, our English word, is based on the Latin word gloria, meaning fame or renown, and it's often associated with human accomplishment. But in the Bible, glory is used to describe the majesty and holiness of God. And it's often used of one's experience of God's presence. Glory points to God revealing Himself among people and is often marked by otherworldly displays of power displayed in bright light, fire, or even a heavy presence. The Hebrew word kavod for glory just means heavy. When God's glory filled the temple, everyone had to leave. It was heavy in there. But God has no equals, and He is regarded as the most glorious being. Yet He desires to manifest His glory among people. This is the kind of God He is. He's a relational God. Now, it's interesting, John in his gospel, and John is a very theological writer. He's got a very tight theological vocabulary. When he uses the word glory, and we just talked about this last Wednesday in our Bible study, when he always uses the word glory to speak of Jesus' redemptive death for sinners, that brings glory to God. So today it's important for us to take a look at this word glory and realize that God's glory led Jesus to the cross. This is how God was going to manifest His otherworldly display of power, was to show Himself in the weakness of the cross. You see, Jesus came to share God's glory with us. But there's a problem. It's called sin. Our sin. it was a barrier to God's glory. No sinner, you see, can stand in God's glorious presence. His holiness, His glory is toxic to sin. So, how could we experience God's glory? How could we be included? Well, Jesus came to fulfill God's plan to remove our sin and bring us into God's presence. This is an otherworldly display of power. He was sent by God to accomplish the will of God and thus bring glory to God. So, the bottom line is this. When we look to the cross of Christ, we should not see a reluctant God being forced to accept us. As a young Christian, I used to think this about God, that God was like, well, okay, I really wanted to crush Brad, but I guess if he believes in Jesus, then I'll have to let him off the hook. And that was a misnomer. When I began, again, my graduate studies at seminary and then on into another graduate degree in Old Testament, I began to see that God is not a reluctant God. He's the one who dreamed up this whole plan of salvation. So we should not see God as reluctant, being forced to accept us, for Jesus did not die on the cross to change God's mind, but to reveal God's heart to us. God the Father is the one that sent him to do this work, and Jesus obediently did it, and then the Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe it. We should see the way that the one true God has made for all sinners to know him. It's not possible for sinners to truly know God in any other way except through the cross. And this is what brings God glory. So God shares this glory. He manifests this glory amongst us. So we could say that our glory comes from the cross. The world sees the cross as an instrument of shame. But to those broken by the shame of their sin, it is the road into God's glorious presence, the way to experience His glory. To lose sight of our own sin and Christ's sacrifice for it on the cross is to lose sight of God's deepest revelation of His glory to us and His concern for us. I love what Luther said about Jesus being the way to the Father's glory. Luther put it like this: God never promised to save anybody for his religious observance or ceremonies and ordinances. Those who rely on such things do serve a God, little g God, but it is their own invention of a God and not the true God. The true God has this to say: no religion pleases me whereby the Father is not glorified through the Son. There you have it. Luther got it. And so in this prayer, this high priestly prayer of Jesus, we hear Jesus on this party line that he put us in the loop on, praying for us. So yes, Jesus prayed for us. Since God chose to manifest his glory in rescuing us by Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we can trust him to treat us as his beloved children and seek his glory, not our own. True oneness in the church can only spring from our common belief in God's deepest revelation of his glory to us in the cross of Christ. This is why every Sunday we do that confession. We meet at the foot of the cross. And there God pulls us into his glory, the glory of his forgiveness, the glory of his, the manifestation of his otherworldly power to come down into our world and lift us up into his. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, when the hour of your death had come, your prayers turn to our needs, that we would be kept in your name, that we would be one, that we would be protected from the evil one, and that we would be kept in your truth. Rekindle in us the need to pray for those things for which you prayed, and to live our lives to your honor and glory. Amen and amen. As we respond to God's good word today, you're invited to sing together, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," verses 1 through 5 of hymn 352 in the green hymnal, or as it appears on the screen. Please be seated. This morning, it's our privilege to pray to this God who has pulled us into fellowship with himself and invited us into his throne room as his children. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this gift of prayer, a chance to come before you. We specifically this morning lift up those who celebrate birthdays this week. We pray your blessing upon Ron Statham, John Jensen, Brady Statham, Rocky Weston, Carrie Owren, Joyce Kubitz, and Jordan Grunwald. Lord, grant each of these the knowledge of your love for them, the grace that you offer them every day. Lord, we also pray for those who are alone and isolated during this time. Lord, the past 2 years have been rough on us. We've been isolated. We've gone through periods of fear and not knowing what the next day will bring. And this seems to continue to generate new life in our world, coming to us now through the economy, inflation, the weather. Lord, it all impacts us. But we pray especially for those who feel so alone during this time. Grant them the knowledge that your love for them is great and that they are not alone. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As our time together this morning draws to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able and join in singing our closing song. You can see the words up on the screen, and the song is Down at the Cross.
Get the blood pumping. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning. It was good to be together today. God bless you today. Receive his blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God.
Thanks be to God.